Dear eternal and everlasting Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you, God. And Lord, we know that hallelujah is the highest form of praise that we could give you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you so much, God. And we take nothing for granted, Lord. God, I know that there's still some folk that's still sleeping right now, Father. But Lord, you allowed our days to roll on, Father God. So for that, we say thank you, God. And then, God, you gave us a mind to want to come out to the house of worship, God, to give your name praise, to honor you, Father. And we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would hear from heaven. That, God, you would speak to our listening ears, Father. Just speak to our open hearts, Father. That, God, we might be doers of your word and not just hearers, God. We honor you today for who you are. We worship you for your matchless grace, God. We worship you, God, for you are the true and the living God. We ask this in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's a spirit of worship in this place. Thank you, God. We worship you, God. We honor you for who you are, God. You didn't have to do it, but you did. It's because of your awesome love that you have for us, God. We worship you with a purpose today, God. Simply to bring you honor, to bring you glory, Lord. Lord, we praise your name, God. You're truly worthy to be praised. Thank you, God. Lord, you said, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Glory to your name. See, sometimes we got to take some time to worship God. I know we got a program here, but sometimes you got to take time out and say, put your program to the side and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Oh, glory to your name, God. You're worthy, oh God. You're worthy, God. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, worthy is the Lamb of God. Glory to your name, oh God. You're worthy, God. Glory to your name, oh God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory, God. You are so worthy. Yes. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to your name. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I thank and I praise God for you. And my prayer is constantly for you, that God will take you to the apex of your worship. Take you to a place where you have not been before. You see, because that's where it's really at, is in the worship. When we worship, begin to worship God, when we begin to give God all the gratitude and the thankfulness that he rightfully deserves, that's where we need to be at. We thank and praise God for his word. There is a word from the Lord today. Well, last week we had our 104th anniversary. And I had the t-shirt on that had the slogan, "Don't just go to church, be the church." Now, this is installment one of being the church. What does it mean to be the church? You see, because being the church means embracing the identity as the body of Christ, not just as individuals, but as a group of people who have come together to celebrate God. It is not just hearing what God has to say, but it is actively demonstrating what we have learned in the preached word and in the taught word. Today we want to focus on being the church by what we do. We have a whole lot of people that are in the church that can talk good church jargon, that know an abundance of scriptures, but they really don't know how to apply it to their lives. And so in Bible study, that's what we're going to do. We're going to start a practical application of how the Holy Spirit interacts with us in our daily lives. The problem I'm finding with the church is that the church is trying to be the church with the absence of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot actively be the church and effectively be the church unless you have been endued with the power to live that life. In Acts, the first chapter, verse number 8, it says that when he, the Holy Spirit, come upon you, you shall receive power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But understand that the only way we can do that is that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Don't misappropriate his power. Don't think that dancing and shouting is his power. That's not his power. His power gives us the ability to be able to live holy and righteous lives before him. You're trying to live holy without the Holy Spirit, that it ain't gonna work. You're just living a good life. But even Jesus said that nobody is good. As a matter of fact, Isaiah said that all of your good deeds are as filthy rags before the Lord. So what is the connection between the Spirit and us as the body of Christ? It starts at infancy. It was the Holy Spirit that birthed us. He is the one that drew us. He is the one that convicted us, let us know that there was something wrong with us. But he also comes to empower us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me again to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. I want to take a look at this. The 16th chapter of the book of Acts gives us a valuable lesson about what it means to be the church. It highlights key aspects of the early believers, the mission, and the response to the Holy Spirit, and community building. You remember last week when Paul had endeavored to go to Asia to preach the gospel. He was having great success. The Bible says that they grew in faith, and that God continuously added to the church. It was a successful ministry. And so Paul wanted to reach even further into Asia, but God forbid him. He listened to the Holy Spirit. Then he decided to go to Bithynia to preach the gospel, to establish a church. And again, the Holy Spirit forbade him. But now he has this dream, or this vision, should I say, of a man of Macedonia descent saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. In this text, Paul is obedient to the word of God. He's obedient to the Spirit of God. When he sees the vision, Paul, under his own conclusion, determines that this is the direction that God wants me to go in. Now notice in the text, nowhere do we see that Paul called a business meeting. He didn't even call a prayer meeting. He got up and he went as the Spirit moved him. The problem a lot of times with us in the church is that we're slow when the Holy Spirit says move. There is time that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and you tell the Lord, Lord, let me pray about it. Well, who are you going to pray to it for? I'm the one telling you to do it. So what do you need to pray for? Why do you need to pray about it? Understand that when the Spirit of God moves upon you to do some things, he will open doors that no man can close. And he'll close doors that no man can open. Because that's the way he orchestrates. That's the way that God operates. Paul receives this vision. Beginning at verse number 9, let us read. It says, and the vision appeared to Paul in the night. Verse number 9, 16. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, listen here, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Nicopolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spoke unto the women which were resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Understand that from a historical standpoint, Macedonia was a region in northern Greece. The events that are described here in Acts the 16th chapter marks a significant movement and moment in the spread of the gospel, because it is the first recorded mission to Europe. And you ask yourself, how is that significant to us? Because it was through the mission work in Europe that it opened the gateway for the gospel to be spread throughout all of the region and throughout all of the provinces. And it ultimately made its way all the way to the west, to the United States of America. This was very important. This was critical. Look at here. Paul had this idea of staying in Asia Minor. And here's really the problem comes with us, is that sometimes we have a narrow scope of what God wants us to do. But understand that God has a bigger picture. So there are times when God will turn you down. There are times that God will tell you no. And there's times that you will be greatly disappointed in his no. But understand that God's yes is always bigger than his no. Because he has a greater scheme. He has a greater purpose for your life. And Paul didn't understand that at the time. Here it is. I'm having success. But every time I try to go right, you say no. Every time I try to go left, God, you stop me. You block me. Paul was a very, he was a very smart man. He was a very prosperous man. He understood the ways of God. And no doubt it created some confusion within the rank. Because here you have Paul, you have his companion Silas, you have his understudy Timothy, and now you have Luke that has joined them as well. Because the pronoun goes from they and them to us and we, which tells us that Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, has now joined Paul along with his other comrades. Understand that Luke was a Greek himself. And there are some scholars that believe that perhaps he was a resident of Troas when Paul received this vision. And understand that Paul, even though he was having success, when he seen the vision, he got up immediately and began to go in the direction in which God sent him in. And we need to understand this, that when God has told us to do some things, then we need to move and do it. The second thing we need to understand is that God gave the vision to Paul. Didn't give it to Silas. He didn't give it to Timothy. But he gave it to Paul. Because understand that Paul was the unquestionable leader of this group. It was his missionary journey. God was leading him. And much in the same way in the local church that God gives the vision to the pastor. And when we begin to look at how God deals with Paul in his vision that he gave, but God didn't give it all of the vision all at one time. In other words, what happens is that when God gives a vision, it's time for you to begin to pray right then and there. Because there are times that God does not give it to you all at one time. God has not given me the full vision of what this church is going to look like. He's given me just by piecemeal. He says, listen, I want you to be constantly depending upon me. I want you to constantly be looking and seeking the avenues and the directions that I want to take this church into. And sometimes you may not understand. Sometimes you may not even agree with it. But please just trust that I'm looking and I'm hearing from God, that I don't want to misstep. I won't misstep here. Because I understand and know how to patiently pray and wait on the Lord. But as I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm not just sitting still. I'm up and I'm doing and I'm being a blessing and I'm being a blessing to other folk. Because that's what he's called us to do. To wait on him, to wait on the vision. Paul receives this vision. And the text says that immediately he got up, he arose. And he went out and he did what God told him to do. He got on a ship and him and his four comrades sailed to Europe. Listen, this was foreign land to them. They had never been there. And understand that even with the church, there's some time that God is going to take us to some places that you know absolutely nothing about. There's going to be some folk that God's going to have us witnessing to that don't speak the same language that we speak. And that's why it's vitally and critical that we have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You see, because when you go back to the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with unknown tongues. The tongues that they spoke with, the people that were around them could hear it in their own language, which tells me that if you want to get rid of the language barrier, it's got to come by way of the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times we don't speak the jargon of these young people today. But understand this, you got to have enough love in your heart. You got to have enough commitment in you that you want to reach them, that you'll do whatever it takes to get their attention. Now listen, that we'll love them through some things. That we'll love them enough to pull them in and say, come on, let me show you the right way to do this. This is really what this is headed to. This is the vision that God is giving me. That there are some young people out there that we're going to be able to, listen, I'm not forgetting about the older saints. No, by all means, listen, you are the rock. You are the ones that really push ministry here. And I celebrate you today too, as well. I know, listen, last year we were celebrating our youth. We're going to spotlight some of the saints, some of the seasoned saints coming up. Because there are some remarkable saints that are in this church. There are some remarkable people that are doing some remarkable things in these pews right here. I like to celebrate other people. Because every now and again, you need to know that you're doing a good job. You need to have a pat on the back and say, continue. Keep on running in the name of the Lord. But Paul here, he takes this opportunity to go into Macedonia. He's in a region where he doesn't know anybody. As a matter of fact, there's not really a big Jewish culture there. And we know that because there's no synagogue there. Paul's custom was whenever he went into a city, the first place he went to go preach the gospel was in the synagogue. What this guaranteed him that he would at least have one good session in the synagogue before they kicked him out. But here he goes into a city and there's no synagogue. There's no synagogue because there's no men in the place. Because according to custom, if there were at least 10 men in that city, they would have to build a synagogue in that city for those 10 men. But here we see what we see in the church today. Where are the men? The women are there. The women are found worshiping God. The women are found praying down by the river. But where are the men at? The men need to stand up and be counted. Men need to stand up and be men. It's not having a macho attitude. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about accountability. I'm talking about men who look out for our women. I'm talking about men who defend our women. I'm talking about men that will take and shoulder some of the burden that's on our women today. That's what I'm talking about. Quite naturally, I know that Paul perhaps said that. We're all we need is 10 men. We can't find 10. But understand, that's the very reason why God sent him into this region. That he might establish a church in this city of Philippi. Philippi was the foremost city in this region. Philippi was known by the love and the dedication that they showed to Paul. Philippi was a loving and it was a giving city. They gave in abundance to Paul while he was locked up in prison for preaching the gospel. Paul had really put a resource in Philippi that would later benefit him. And understand that God has orchestrated all of this. This did not come out of the hands of Paul. It didn't come out of the hands of Silas. It was at the hands of the Almighty God. God was moving upon them to do what he wanted them to do. They're being the church by what they do. They went out and they witnessed. They went out and they gave of themselves. They went out and they sacrificed. They didn't stay stuck in no building. Let me clear this, and we'll cover this in Bible study as well. Did you not know that church buildings did not come around to about 300 BC, AD? They didn't meet in Ephesus like this. There was no church buildings. They met in homes. They met in people's private estates. They didn't have the luxuries that we have here today. There was no live stream. You had to come to church. Amen, somebody. And while I'm at that, how will you be in the church by doing the church sitting at home? I'm looking at you, live stream. How are you doing it? You see, because your presence is needed in here. Your presence is needed, and there's some work right here for you to do. And most times you're sitting at home and you're not really doing the work of God. I know. Get some negative feedback on that one. But they need to know that. You need to come out. You need to come on out. You need to fill these pews. That's what you need to do. You see, it's because it's a matter, being a Christian is a matter of sacrifice. How can you say that you love God who sacrificed his son for you, but you ain't willing to sacrifice nothing for him or the church? We ain't willing to do nothing for the glory of God. We come in here and we listen to the sermons, we go home and we do the same old stuff we've been doing. How can you win folk? How can you get folk to come in? How can you go down to the river and begin to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and God opens up the heart of them that they might receive it? The Holy Spirit is working in his church. But here's the deal. He's working it through people. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. And it takes us as willing vessels, vessels of honor, to be able to carry what he has told us to carry to the lost. Because the church needs to be both encouraging the saints and evangelistic in its approach. So I'm going to encourage you to become evangelistic in your approach to people. And what that requires you living a life of holiness before them through the power of his Holy Spirit. I told you, he has filled us. He has every believer, he fills. If you ask him, God will fill you with his Holy Spirit. But as I said, sometimes we so fill the stomach, so much other stuff. And God has to strip us down. There are some times that God has to begin to take some things out of our lives. God will take you down only to build you back up. When you will not act in obedience, when you will not walk in obedience to God, God knows how to get you to a place where you have no other choice but to receive that. But why do we have to go to that limit? Why do we have to go there? Why can't we just respond to the Holy Spirit? Why can't we get into his word? Listen, a good place to start is Bible study. If you would just come out to Bible study and understand and learn what the Lord has saying concerning our lives, come and get the practical application of what we're talking about. Because there is a practical application for everything that the Bible says for us. There's a way of doing everything that God has called us to do. And so here Paul hears, there is no synagogue. But he hears the word that there's a river down where the women congregate. And Paul makes a beeline and goes down to the river and begins to preach the gospel. There's this woman there by the name of Lydia. Now, Lydia was a woman of great influence because it says that she was a seller of purple. Now, understand that back in that day, that's how they knew what kind of class you were in. If you wore purple, purple meant that you had some money. You had the little bling bling. Purple mean that, and because she was a seller of purple, mean that she was quite wealthy as well. And so the Lord touches through the preaching of Paul, through the preaching of Silas, through the preaching of Timothy, he opens her heart up. And she receives the gospel message. Now understand this. What if Paul and Silas then would have been late getting there? It's a missed opportunity. And understand that God has ordained every one of us in here. God has orchestrated. There's somebody that God is going to bring into your life. There are some people that God's going to bring into life that you can help, that you can bless with the gospel message. Some of y'all work right next door to somebody on the job, and you've never shared the gospel with them. You've told them to come to church, but you've never really given them the gospel message. And that's where we need to start at. We need to start at giving them the gospel message. Listen, when they come in here, they should be ready to be encouraged. You should be already have shown them what the goodness of God looks like. What the love of Christ looks like. You see, because I can't preach anybody saved. Did you get that? Most folk that get saved with a one-on-one conversation. Most folk that get saved by somebody bringing them in and telling them, explaining the gospel to them, living the gospel before them, showing them the love of Christ. That's the real antidote to man's sinfulness. And God uses us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak life into people. Stop condemning folk. Stop casting people into hell. You have no authority to do it. It is not biblical. But you do have the biblical right and obligation to speak life into them. Let them know what they can be. Stop focusing on what they are and start focusing on what they can be. One of the things, one of the areas that the church needs to really focus on and really get better at is meeting people where they're at. Meeting people exactly where they're at. Everybody's not going to come in here cleaned up. Everybody's not going to come in here brand new. There are some folk that have been through some stuff. There's some folk that have been through some things that you can't even imagine what they've been through. And we've got to learn how to meet them exactly where they're at. Don't put these unrealistic expectations on them. And then don't try and determine how fast they grow in the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that grows us and matures us in Him. You ain't always been saved either. There's some stuff in our closet we hope never come out. But God is a forgiving God. And just like He forgave you of your stuff, just like He was patient with you through your stuff, He's going to be patient with them as well. And you need to do the same thing. Try showing some mercy every now and again. Try showing some compassion every now and again. Try demonstrating the love of God. Let's try walking like Christ walked. Because that's our real true standard is what Christ did. You keep talking about what we've always done. No, you need to go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? How do we respond to a situation? We need to get in the Bible and find out how to do it. Because last time I checked, Jesus, that woman at the well, knew her condition. Even she didn't even know he knew, but he knew her condition. But look at what he does. He still speaks life into her. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's our mission. And the Apostle Paul understands this. He understood this, and he was on his mission. And he went about doing and not just hearing and sitting. We as a church need to do the same thing. Understand that it's about us doing the will of God. Because understand this. You and I and every last one of us will be held accountable for everything that we did or neglected to do in this earth. Every missed opportunity to share the gospel with is going to be recorded. Every time you rejected the move of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's going to be recorded. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. He's not a dormant God. He's always progressing. And if I sound a little bit progressive, then I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Because I serve a progressive God. I don't serve a God that's stagnated. I don't serve a God that just sits still. God is always moving forward. He's always pushing forward. And if I got to kick down some doors to get to where God wants me to get to, then that's what I'll do. If I got to stand against anybody when it comes to this word and this vision for this church, I'm going to do it. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. I know y'all say, Pastor, nice, yo, he's a nice guy. When it comes down to the word of God, when it comes down to what the Lord wants me to do, don't you get in my way. Please don't. Because I'm bound and determined to do what he said to do. And God has given me stewardship. Not ownership, but he's given me stewardship. And I want to be counted as a good steward. One that loves God and loves God's people. And that's one of the things I told you. I promise you, I'll never stop loving you. I don't care what you may say or think about me. I'm going to continue to love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. But we need to start doing, stop just being hearers of God's word. Just coming in here, just coming to church and doing church and not being the church. The evidence of a saved life, the evidence of a Christian is a changed life, a life of service, a life of sacrifice. So my question to you is that, what's the last time you sacrificed anything for anybody other than you? When's the last time you've given up something that you held dear that it might be a blessing to somebody else? I know we don't like to talk about sacrifice, but understand that God sacrificed for us. He gave his son for us. And Lydia received this in her heart. And she said, listen here, if I've been found in favor of God, she said, come and stay at my house. In other words, her first response to her salvation was an act of generosity. That which perhaps she had previously felt held dear to herself. Because she was a wealthy woman. Now she's willing to share her wealth with the people who have given her the gospel message. In much of the same way, how do we respond to God's gift of eternal life? Are we still selfish in how we live our lives? Are we still selfish in how we handle the resources that God has given us, that he's blessed us with? Notice I didn't say, are we still selfish with our money, because it's not our money. We may think it's our money, but it's not our money. It all belongs to God. God has just made you stewards over the money in which he's allowed you to have. And that's one of the clearest indications of where your faith is how you bless others. How you bless God and his church. That's the truest indication, one of the truest indications right there. Because it's something that we hold on so dearly to. But here Lydia is willing to relinquish it. All because of a loving Savior that was presented to her. Here it is now, Lydia is making a sacrifice by extending her home to them. And much in the same way, we need to understand the sacrifice that was paid for us. The sacrifice of a Savior who knew no sin, but became sin that all of us might have eternal life. He came down here, he never sinned. He lived amongst us. He raised the sick, the dead, and healed the sick. Turned water into wine. He fed 5,000 with two fish and five barley loaves of bread. Listen, Jesus lived a life of sacrifice. He was constantly sacrificing, even all the way up to the cross. He said that I did not come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of the one who sent me. It was his Father that sent him. Came down through 42 generations to die for the sins of the world. To give his life as a ransom for you. To give his life as a ransom for me. He died for all of our sins. But it takes you putting faith in the fact that he died, was buried, and rose on the third day, that you can benefit from it. Because if you don't believe that, then you're still lost and in your sin. If you just had a mere mind salvation, where it never really produced a new life in you, if you never believed it unto righteousness, to which it causes you to want to live right and live holy before God, then you're still missing the mark. You're still missing it. The awesome price that he paid for you is that he willingly laid down his life. He gave up the ghost and he died for your sins. They put him in a tomb. He stayed there all day Friday, all day Saturday. But the record declares that on Sunday morning, don't know how early it was, but on Sunday morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. And he's right now making intercession for you right now, seated at the right-hand side of the Father, praying for us. Jesus is still working on our behalf. He's still telling the Father, yeah, they sinned, but hey, I died for that sin. My blood is enough to cover that sin. It's about being the church. Think about if Christ would have just came and talked about dying for the sins of the world. But no, Christ was a doer of his Father's will. He knew his purpose. And you as individuals need to understand your purpose. You have a purpose in the kingdom of God. But it's your job to find out, God, what is my purpose? What am I here for? What is it? What gift have you given me that I might be able to be a blessing to the church? God, what can I do that someone else might be able to receive the gospel message? Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back. My question is, will you be in the number? I pray that you will. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. The door to the church is open. This is your opportunity. For those of you who do not know, when we open the door to the church, this is your opportunity. Hold on. This is your opportunity to receive Christ if you don't know him. This is your opportunity to come down and unite with this church. There are some great and wonderful things, amen, that God desires to do. This is your opportunity. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you want to unite with this church, this is your opportunity. Amen, amen, amen. Glory. Okay, he just... Amen. Lord is doing it. Amen. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, come on, come on. The Bible says, harden not your heart. Glory to God. You want to be a part of this great move of God? We endeavor to do what the Lord says do here. Amen. Amen. Is there another? This is your opportunity. Glory to God. Glory, glory. Glory, glory to God. Glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, are you available? My storage is empty. Thank you, Lord. Fill me with your spirit, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Is there another? There's still room. There's still room. Glory to your name, God. Thank you, Lord. My storage is empty. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. We ask that you sit prayerfully as our clerk continues to get the names of these that have come. Just because we sat down, if you still feel the Holy Spirit, you can still come. You can still come. You can still come.